"You don't have any scientific training," Johansson objected. "Yes, but I've had considerable experience piloting spacecraft." "Not the same thing at all," said Johansson. And Dorn added, "I apparently am better able than others to withstand the pressures that the crew will face." That stopped them. For several moments, the office was dead quiet. Then Archer asked, "What is it you want to say?" "I'm willing to ride in Dr. Jaeger's vessel. I have confidence in his design." Johansson smiled palely at the cyborg. Lowenstein looked faintly disgusted. "We appreciate your courage," said Archer. "Not courage," Dorn corrected. "Curiosity. I want to learn about those gigantic creatures. I want to see them face to face." The discussion droned on for more than an hour. Johansson even began to argue that they should be spending more time on classifying the various species living in Jupiter's atmosphere rather than focusing all their efforts on the Leviathans. Jaeger decided to head them off before they got themselves too deeply involved in what he considered to be a sideline issue. "All right," he said, his nervousness gone now that he knew what had to be done. "We send the vessel into the ocean on an automated mission. No crew. We put her through the exact conditions she'll have to face with a crew aboard. If she gets through that without a problem, then we'll be ready for a human mission, right?" Archer turned from Jaeger toward Johansson and Lowenstein. Each of them nodded agreement. Johansson seemed reasonably compliant about the idea, Jaeger thought. Lowenstein wary, almost suspicious.
Catherine Westfall's quarters. "So they're going to send the submersible down there unmanned?" Catherine Westfall asked. Deirdre nodded. "That's the plan." Westfall had draped herself across the sitting room's chaise lounge, clad in a skin-tight pair of glittering gold toreador pants, topped by an emerald-green silk jacket. Her sandals were crusted with gems. Deirdre wondered if they were real jewels. As usual, Westfall looked as if she had arranged herself to have her portrait snapped. Sitting in an armchair facing her, Deirdre felt almost scruffy in her dark gray pullover blouse and lighter slacks. The coffee table between them was bare. Westfall had offered no refreshments of any kind for this midnight meeting. "You're certain of this?" Westfall asked, almost accusingly. "This information is reliable." "I got it from Dr. Jaeger, the man who designed the vessel. He'll be in charge of the mission." "I see," said Westfall. The hint of a smile curled the corners of her mouth. "I presume you have Jaeger suitably enamored of your charms." Deirdre almost laughed in her face. Max was so transparent. Dorn had told her about the meeting in Archer's office when he'd met Deirdre in the clinic for her immunization therapy. The cyborg didn't have to be there. The clinic had a sufficient sample of his blood on hand. But somehow, he seemed to show up whenever Deirdre had to get her shots. "I appreciate your moral support," she'd said to him as they left the clinic. "That seems to be my main function these days," said Dorn. He told her about Max's need for support in the meeting with Dr. Archer. Once she was alone in her quarters, Deirdre phoned Max. "I hear you had a big meeting," she said to the engineer's image in her phone screen. "I hope it went well." Jaeger put on a toothy smile. "I'll tell you all about it over dinner." "Fine," said Deirdre. Jaeger looked surprised. But he broke into his usual leering grin and replied happily, "I'll pick you up at 1800 hours, okay?" "Fine," Deirdre repeated. The station's galley was hardly a romantic trysting place, but Jaeger found a table for two and spent most of dinner talking about the meeting and the decision to send Faraday into the Jovian Ocean without a crew aboard. "Can you do that?" Deirdre asked. "I mean, can the ship function without a crew?" Jaeger popped a forkful of apple tart into his mouth and nodded wordlessly as he chewed it quickly and then swallowed it down.
"She'll run fully automated,"
he said at last, but his expression was far from happy. "Is there something wrong with that?" He looked down at his plate. Nothing there but crumbs. Without looking up at Deirdre, he muttered,
"I don't like it."
"Your dessert?" she giggled.
"You didn't leave much of it."
"Not the dessert," he said, meeting her eyes at last. "I don't like sending her down there alone, without a crew."
"Why not?"
He hesitated a couple of heartbeats, then explained,
"She'll have to go down so deep we'll lose contact with her. We won't be able to run her remotely from here in the station. She'll have to run automated completely on her own. She'll be all alone down there."
"But you said the ship's designed to operate that way, if it has to." Shaking his head, Jaeger said,
Yeah, I know. Hell, I designed her. I know what she can do. I even set up a human analog file into her main program. Silly thing to do, but I did it anyway."
"A human analog program?"
"Yeah."
Jaeger looked almost ashamed of himself.
"Aphorism, adages, that sort of thing. So she wouldn't feel all alone down there."
Deirdre smiled at him. "Max, you're just a big softy. That program isn't going to make the computer feel better. Computers don't have emotions."
"I know. But I do."
"The ship will do fine, Max."
I know.
"So what's the problem?"
"I just don't like it. I worry about her. I'd feel a lot better if I was there with her."
"Golly, Max, you sound as if you're talking about a child of yours."
"I am," he said. "She's my baby, Dee. I'm scared for her."
Once they'd left the galley and walked along the passageway toward their living quarters, Jaeger fell silent. Deirdre thought that all his bluster and loud confidence in his design was really a front. He was worried that his vessel might fail, that it might never return from its uncrewed mission into the Jovian Ocean. "Are his insinuations about me nothing more than bravado, too?" she wondered. She realized that she was going to find out. "Well," she said, once they'd reached her door, "thanks for an interesting dinner, Max." His familiar, lecherous smirk returned.
"The night is young, fair one."
Deirdre decided to follow her hunch. "That's true. It is." Jaeger was a big, burly man, she realized, but his eyes were a meltingly soft brown. He stood before Deirdre, suddenly tongue-tied. "Would you like to come in?" she asked in a breathy whisper.
I'm
afraid I don't have anything to drink."
"Yeah, well,
we could just sit and talk for a while, or watch videos." Jaeger licked his lips, shifting slightly from one foot to the other, like a little boy. Deirdre stepped so close to him that her body touched his.
"Or whatever," she whispered.
Dee.
Something close to panic flashed in Jaeger's eyes.
"I'm old enough to be your father, you know."
"Do you want me to call you Daddy?"
He gulped hard.
I've got two kids your age. Older," he stuttered. "My ex-wife has custody of them, back in Arizona."
"That's a long way from here," Deirdre murmured.
"I gotta go," Jaeger said. "I gotta review the simulation data and get ready for a meeting tomorrow with the launch crew."
"Do you have to?"
Deirdre importuned.
"See you," said Jaeger.
He turned and hurried down the passageway. Deirdre smiled.